start getting some really nice effects and tranquilizing effects to a certain degree with those. And then, of course, the next step up would be going to actual pharmaceuticals.
Cool. All right. Mike, of course, is being a very diligent production engineer and reminding me that we're supposed to end this hour now. But you see, remember what you said to start the show? We start on time, we end on time. What happens in the middle? Just
all a big dance.
We're going to end late because I want to finish this before we stop.
We can do that.
So here we go. Number four, emotional release techniques like EFT or emotion code can be done now or during noises. This may shift the issue permanently and at the very least make your animal more comfortable. Now, I don't know about emotion code. I do know how to do EFT, emotional release techniques, which is a tapping technique on acupressure points that works really well for humans. I've never tried it on animals. I wonder, do you have any experience with that, Dr. Mike?
I don't have any direct experience with it, but, you know, I think, you know, similar techniques, certainly acupressure and stimulating some of those also stress releasing points can work. And I think that that's the, especially if you're in the situation, you know, it can do a really good job. You know, what I've found is with acupuncture anyway, you can do some immediate help with acupuncture in anxiety situations, but it may not last a terribly long time, which is why, you know, if you came in on the 2nd or the 3rd of July and got treatment, your dog would probably be very relaxed for those days, but going into the 4th, it probably would have worn off by then.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to remember that and test that next time I have an opportunity with a dog, because I know how to do the EFT. I've just never thought about doing it with an animal like that, but so that would be an interesting experiment. Let's see, number five. This, I really like this, because, you know, I'm a communicator and talk with animals. She says, number five, sit down with your animal and tell them about the upcoming noises. Show them a mental video of loud noises and fireworks. That just means, folks, you imagine what you're talking about in your mind, because telepathically they get the pictures in your mind. So she says, show them a mental video of loud noises and fireworks and them sitting quietly and calmly. Tell them that they will be calm and relaxed when they hear these noises and that they are safe. Never tell them to not be afraid, because that sends the opposite message. Remember, telepathy comes through the right brain, and it doesn't accept negatives. So you want to tell them that they're safe. You never want to say, don't be afraid. All right, number six. In addition to one of the calming supplements, it's important that your animals are safe in a place that they cannot escape from. An interior bathroom with no windows is a nice, dark, quiet spot. Place a radio or TV to cut down on the intensity of the outside noise and reassure your pet that everything is okay. Make sure your animal is wearing a collar with your phone number on it in case they do manage to get lost. So she says, think ahead and keep your pet safe on the 4th. Thank you, Mary, for that. And I'm going to remind you, because it's not in my tip that's going to run right now, Dr. Al Plechner's favorite trick on the 4th of July. And I'd like to know if you're okay with this, Mike. Dr. Al says, get some mineral oil or baby oil or an oily ear ointment and put it in the dog's ears, because the oil coats the eardrum and dulls down the sound. Now, yeah. Now, the interesting, Mike, because, you know, all those years that Dr. Al did Vet Sunday with us, he mentioned this a number of times, and I can't tell you how many calls Sandy got that we didn't put on the air, but off the air, and that people that had dogs that were severely afraid of loud noises, and when they tried the oil in the ears, they reported that it made a really huge difference.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never done it, but it's certainly not going to cause any harm.
Okay, so good thing oil oil in an eyedropper and put it down and then mush the base of the ear canal so you know it's coating the eardrum, and then you can wipe off any excess on the ear flap. And
sure.
All right, and let's go ahead, since we're almost five minutes overtime here, let's go ahead and break this hour. We'll run you Martha's 4th of July fear of loud noises tips and the jolly routine. And even though you haven't had a chance to practice it, do it anyway, and everything that you can do, and at least and get that oil in their ears, and you should be in pretty good shape. When we come back, it's all Vet Sunday for the rest of the show, and the phone lines are open. Oh, let me tell you, though, one of the reasons we put out a plea to Gary to call us is because the username and password for our on-air email account, the one he gave me, doesn't work. So he must have changed it or something, and I don't know that. And so we can't get email today at this point. So if you want to ask a question, if you have an animal medical care question for Dr. Mike, you need to call us. Here are the numbers. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the one, 888-298-5569. 4th of July tips going on, and then it's Vet Sunday for the rest of the show. Give us a call right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM, 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
This is Martha with Animal World's Tip of the Month for June. It may seem a little premature to be thinking about the 4th of July now, but it's not at all if you have a dog that is terrified by loud noises like fireworks, especially if you'd like to change that this year. It usually takes some preparation time, but it can be done and is pretty simple. So if you have a dog that is afraid of loud noises like thunder or fireworks, or if you have a young dog that will be experiencing the 4th of July for the first time this year, here's what you need to know to change the way your dog friend feels about fireworks, or to make sure your young dog never becomes afraid. First, let's be sure you know what not to do. None of us like it when our dog acts fearfully, and most of us, even though we have the best of intentions, do exactly the wrong things when our dogs show fear. For example, let's say you're with your dog at home when thunder bangs loudly outside. The dog startles and then begins to cower in fear. Our response is usually to try to calm and sympathize. Oh, poor baby, it's okay, calm down, it's only thunder, mommy doesn't like it either, kiss, 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 while we're petting and stroking the dog. Unfortunately, if you do this, you are acknowledging the fear and communicating to the dog that they are behaving appropriately and rewarding the fearful behavior. So their fear will actually become stronger and more deeply seated psychologically. In order to do the right thing under these circumstances, it's important to remember that dogs are pack animals. You, as their human, are supposed to be the leader of the pack. Dogs do follow the leader and tend to be monkey see, monkey doers. They are also, for the most part, simple-minded. So if you have a good sales pitch, you can convince them of almost anything. You, as the leader of the pack, must set the appropriate example. You do this by doing what I call jollies, or by triggering a formal jolly routine. Either way, success requires you drumming up the actor or actress inside of you. But before we get to that, the first step is understanding and then teaching a jolly routine to your dog. A jolly routine is a word or a phrase that, when you say it, automatically makes your dog think of something wonderful and happy. You can have more than one jolly routine. In fact, I recommend that if there are things you do with your dog on a regular basis that he or she really enjoys, then take advantage of those things by reinforcing the trigger phrases. Let's say your dog likes to go for a walk, or a ride, or play ball. Then every time before you do those things, be consistent with the words you say that precede the activity. For example, you know you're going to take the dog for a walk. Before you start the physical part of the ritual, like getting the leash and your coat, begin the trigger phrase, "Let's go for a walk, let's go for a walk, oh boy, let's go for a walk," and repeat it several times before you go into action. That way your dog will react to the words or trigger phrase, not the physical act of actually going for the walk. Just in case you need a jolly trigger out while you're on a walk or playing a game, if your dog likes to eat, I recommend you teach one jolly routine related to a specific special food reward. A food reward, in order to be effective, only has to be large enough to taste. So pick a food that your dog really likes and that he won't get any other time.
Make sure it's a food that can be broken up into small pieces, like chicken or cheese. You can practice as many jolly routines as you want throughout the day, but there needs to be at least 2 hours between practice jollies. Start your jolly routine when your dog is not expecting it. Say he's asleep on the floor. Before you go into any physical action, remember you want your dog to react to the vocabulary, not the food. Begin saying the trigger phrase. By the way, the food is either already in your pocket and the dog doesn't know you have it, or it's still in the kitchen somewhere. Begin saying, oh boy cheese, let's get cheese, oh boy cheese. Repeat the phrase 5 or 6 times. Then get up and get goofy, exciting your dog as you continue to repeat the phrase. Do this for 2 to 3 minutes, then stop and give the dog the piece of food. If your dog is one of those rare ones that doesn't like food so much, you can do the same thing with their favorite toy or game. Practice the jolly routine until all you have to do is say the trigger phrase and the dog gets excited. Have all members of the family practice jollies. Do it all together as well as doing it separately. Once your dog is programmed, you're ready to use the jolly routine whenever your dog encounters a sound or situation that triggers fear. You hear fireworks? Immediately go into the jolly routine. Now, here's where being a good actor or actress comes in. Put on a good show as you are the leader and making the positive association with the noise. It won't take long before your dog will hear the fireworks and begin the jolly routine himself before you have a chance to. Start your preparation now and you should be good to go by the 4th of July, and even if you haven't done any prep, you can still use the basic concept whenever stuff happens. If you have always sedated your dog over the 4th, I suggest you get the tranquilizers, but prepare for and use jollies. You may find you will be returning the sedatives after the 4th because you didn't need to use them. If you are raising a young dog and this will be their first 4th, your job is to pay attention and be prepared to do jollies on general principles whenever fireworks happen so your dog develops a positive feeling about them. Don't wait to see how the pup reacts. Do the jolly routine as a matter of course. In most cases, I think it's best to exclude your dog from 4th of July celebrations with fireworks, as accidents can happen. Leave your dog at home, inside, with some soft music playing in the background. If you must take your dog to a party, make sure a responsible adult is supervising the dog, and always keep the dog on leash around fireworks. Okay, there you have it. All you need to know to change the way your dog feels about fireworks. But if you still have questions, call me, and please stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Good morning, it's Martha Norwalk, and I want to welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. So the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that'll bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And hey, 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 it is the first Sunday of July. Can you believe it? July 3rd. It's almost the 4th of July. And I'm delighted to say that it is officially Vet Sunday, and one of our very favorite vets is here, Dr. Mike Salewski. Good morning, Dr. Mike. You still with us?
I am still here. Good morning.
All right. And before we phone lines are starting to fill up, folks, but we do still have a couple of lines open. And I'm delighted to say that we were able to get a hold of Gary over the break, and so we did get the username and password. We can now get emails. So if you would prefer to send a question via email, now, keep in mind that if you call us, you're going to get more information from Dr. Mike because he can have a dialogue with you, and we usually need more information than you put in your emails. But if that's the only way you can contact us, you can send your email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. But get it in soon enough so that Mike can get it, print it, and run to the next county to get it where he has to go and get it to me, and so we can talk to Dr. Mike. Now, before we go to the phones, Dr. Mike, I just want to make sure, because I didn't actually ask you, any specific tips for animals that have trouble with 4th of July that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention?
Well, you know, there's that product out there, the Thunder Shirt.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, is sort of made for loud noises and anxiety, and that seems to do a pretty good job with a lot of dogs also. Just that being wrapped up like that seems to settle them down very, very well.
Yeah,
that would be about the, but all the other advice I thought was spot on.
Yeah, now I found that interesting. It's called a Thunder Shirt, and I have not ever tested them myself, but I've gotten a lot of reports about them. And initially the reports I got were really good. And it's kind of like that concept of swaddling human babies. You know, wrapping them up tight in a blanket, which is supposed to simulate more like being in the womb, and that will calm human babies. And so this is like a kind of a vest that you put on your dog pretty snug. And I've heard from some people that it works really well. But I have to tell you, a friend went and purchased one, Dr. Mike, just this last week to try it with her dog. And the location she purchased it at, when she was at the counter and bought it, they told the person that sold it to her said, "I will be surprised if you don't bring this back after the weekend." She said, because most of them come back. So now that's just one place that sells them, and that's the first negative thing I've heard, because most of what I've heard has been really positive. So your experience, Dr. Mike, is that dogs have been helped with this?
Yeah, overall, quite positive. I mean, obviously, it's not going to work for every dog, and I think that the level of anxiety and fear they have a lot to do with that. But again, sometimes it's going to be a matter of combining all of these different things.
Yeah, so you might have to use a lot of the different things.
Right, and any dog or animal, for that matter, once they start getting wound up and that anxiety is already there, even some of the more powerful drugs, it's really hard, you know, to get them to go back down.
Yeah.
Once that cycle of anxiety and fear starts, not much of anything works. And so, you know, just like Mary was saying in her notes there, it being prepared and starting ahead of time. You know, once the fireworks start going off and your dog is under the bed, you know, quivering, nothing's going to work.
Yeah.
You've got to be prepared in advance.
And I'll just have to say that I think more important than anything else often, folks, is your attitude when this happens. Because just like I said in my tip, the tendency is to say, oh, calm down, it's okay, kiss, 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 and that makes it worse. And if you go into the fear or worry and you don't like them, your animal will reflect that. And I had an example of that yesterday because I had some clients out at my house, Dr. Mike, and we were sitting out in the yard talking about what was going on with their dog. And this is a screaming Pleckner dog, you know, so his thyroid's way out of balance. He's grossly obese, and we're just starting to get him back on track. Well, while he was just very calm and relaxed when he was with us there, and then a big, you know, firecracker went off in the neighborhood. And of course, for me, it's just automatic when I hear it. I just immediately got it and said, oh boy, 4th of July, oh boy, fireworks, let's get treats, oh boy, biscuits. And the dog just got up and went and got in the little doghouse next, you know, that I have out in my patio, and laid back right down and went to sleep. And they went, oh my gosh, that's totally different than what he does at our house. And the only thing that was different is that I was there doing jollies.
Sure.
So it does make a difference. All right, folks, if you've got more questions about 4th of July and fear of loud noises, you can certainly give us a call. Or any animal medical care questions for your animal friends is fair. Dr. Mike is here. It's Vet Sunday. We're going to the phones. There are a couple lines open, so pick them up if you'd like. 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. First up in Arlington is Athena. Welcome to Animal World, Athena.
Oh, boy, jolly routine. I'm on Martha Norwalk. Hi.
All right, you get the prize for today, Athena. Have you got a question for Dr. Mike?
Yes. I have a new baby, feline, Persian kitten, and my breeder, Dr. Mike, hi. My breeder wants early spaying.
Okay, how old is your kitten now?
She just turned 7 months.
7 months?
8 weeks.
And what's her name?
Onyx.
Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
Is she black?
She is black.
All right. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Your vet wants early spay.
My vet? My breeder wants early spaying, and she's quite adamant about it. And my vet, Dr. Bill at Quilcita in Marysville, wants late spaying, and I agree with Dr. Bill, but I would be interested in hearing what
Dr. Mike. Where are you on the spaying and neutering and timing and age and stuff, Dr. Mike?
Well, I'm in Dr. Bill's camp as well, too. I think that, you know, doing it and waiting till they're a bit more developed is a good thing. Now, I think that that's great with responsible, you know, pet owners.
Right.
When, you know, like yourself, when you start talking some of these animals that are going through shelters and the like, and you're maybe not going to have a choice as to how responsible somebody is. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet and you're going to do an earlier spay. Or if behavioral stuff starts to show up early,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can happen. But I'll give an example in a horse. This was years ago, over a decade ago, where normally we would be castrating a stud horse at somewhere around 6 months or 9 months, something like that.
It's called gelding in horses.
Yeah.
But it's basically neutering, so male horses get neutered too.
Right, exactly. And this little foal at a month of age was aggressive.
Wow.
He would charge you and try to bite you. He was trying to mount his mother.
Ooh.
He was kicking her. He was biting. I mean, he was a menace.
Oh, dear.
And so we went ahead and gelded him very young, at a month, and he
did it help.
It helped immensely.
Wow.
With him. So there are definitely exceptions to that rule, but in general, I would be on Bill's side and your side, Athena, and say go ahead and wait and let that kitten grow up a little bit longer. And I would imagine that if Bill wrote a note to that effect to the breeder and explained his reasons why, I would imagine that, you guys could come to an agreement on that.
Well, especially, Athena, you agree that you're not going to breed the kitten, and you're not going to put her in a situation where she could be bred.
Exactly.
But I know, I'm in the same boat, because Dr. Bill, of course, is my veterinarian, and I have Miss Sophie Sweetcheeks, who is a little rescue kitten that I got last summer. And, of course, Dr. Bill said to me, I want you to keep her intact as long as you possibly can, and I want her to come in and out of heat a few times before we spay her. And I said, yeah, right. Have you ever lived with a cat in season? Well, I have to tell you, Miss Sophie Sweetcheeks celebrated her first birthday 2 days ago. She was born on the 1st of July, and she has not yet been spayed, and she has been in and out of heat a number of times this spring. And I have to say, very fortunately, she's reasonable when she's in heat to live with. She isn't yowling all night long, and we've done really well. However, I've had to tell you that she does have a gentleman collar because, I do have my outdoor cat run. Nobody can get in or out, so she's safe from being bred, but there is an unneutered male cat in the neighborhood who comes to call. And I told you, I think, was it last week or the week before? He actually came up to my French doors and turned around and sprayed. And, of course, they're not airtight. So I came into my kitchen area, walked by the French doors, and got a whiff of, unneutered male cat urine, which is probably the worst smell on the planet next to anal glands. And I can't tell you how desperate a search there was in my house to find my anti-icky poo, because it is the best odor neutralizer, especially for unneutered male cat urine. One spray outside on the door where he had sprayed, and I didn't even wash it off. I just sprayed my anti-icky poo. Smell gone, forever gone, period. Pfft, wonderful stuff. So if you, she has gentleman callers, make sure you have some anti-icky poo. Now let's, Athena, you said your girl is 7 months old now, and my girl, Dr. Mike, is 1 year old, and she's very small. She's a very small cat. What do you think, you know, since it's, I can live with her in heat, and Athena's girl is 7 months, do you have an age where you think might be your ideal for spaying them?
I think that, you know, in 12 to 18 months is my general rule of thumb.
12 to 18 months. Okay. All right. So I'm within range now. Athena, you got a few months to go.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Okay. Any other questions, Athena? Are you good?
No. This actually, what Dr. Mike is saying is in concordance with what I have researched on my own, and I am so grateful.
Oh, huh. Well, I'm so glad we could help.
Yeah. Athena, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for calling Animal World.
You're welcome, Martha.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, next up, we are going to Woodinville, and it's Kevin's turn. Kevin, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Mike Saluski. Hey, Kevin.
Yes, I'm here.
Turn your radio off.
Okay.
All right.
I'm here.
Dr. Mike Saluski's here, and Kevin, I spoke to you earlier this week.
Correct.
And so I kind of know what's going on, but we got to fill in Dr. Mike and everybody else. So tell
Perfect.
Us about your dog friend.
My little dog friend is 14 years old. She's about 30 pounds, and she's a miniature Australian Shepherd.
And her what's her name?
Her name is Zuli.
Z-U-L-I. Mm-hmm. Tell us what's
and
going
she,
on.
She has transitional cell carcinoma in the bladder, as we've discovered. We had an ultrasound about a month ago, and that was what the vet ultrasound guy in Montlake Terrace was able to see. And then that was confirmed when we went to see the vet oncologist in Renton. And so that's where we're at, and we're reluctant to pursue the
chemotherapy.
Chemotherapy, and just feeling like, well, what else can we do to support her during this time?
Yeah, and Dr. Mike, Kevin called me this week because he and his wife are really in a dilemma here, and they wanted to know how to communicate with the dog to find out what she wants, and so I gave you some referrals there. Were you able to talk to Kim?
Not yet.
Okay, so we don't yet know what the dog's wishes are, but if I'm going to try to encapsulate
sure.
this for Dr. Mike, when you talked to the veterinary oncologist, you asked about this particular type of cancer and the effects of chemotherapy. Because, you know, I'm certainly not a vet, but I know that chemo works, you know, is known to work really well on some kinds of cancer, but not on others. And I think what you were kind of, and what is the dog's reaction going to be? You were told that, well, after the chemo injection, you know, they get sick and vomit for, you know, a day or so, but, you know, then things turn around. And you, as I and your wife, are very reluctant to do something that would cause your beloved dog friend any discomfort.
Exactly.
And I told you, for my decision, I would not do the chemo. I would work with, you know, someone like Dr. Mike and Dr. Bill and find out what else could be done. That wouldn't, you know, so anyway, that's kind of where they're at, Dr. Mike, is, you know, what other thing, is there stuff in Chinese medicine, and Kevin, you were questioning acupuncture and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And it was clear that the chemo would not, it might prolong her life, but at the cost of going through the pain and discomfort of dealing with the chemo. Now, compared to what a human goes through when they get chemo, it's significantly less. And the best, it sounded like the best hope with the chemo was that it would arrest in the growth of the carcinoma.
Mm-hmm. For a short period of time. But it also is very costly.
Right. We were looking at probably with a periodic ultrasound and test blood tests and the chemotherapy, it was upwards of $500 a month.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a lot.
Sure.
So,
and And did she give you any idea of just how long potentially you might be able to extend her life? Was she, you know, 3 months, 6 months?
Well, we were going to do a course that would take us through about 6 months. Mm-hmm. That was the recommendation, unless there was some real severe adverse reaction to the chemo.
Sure. Well, you know, I deal with a lot of cancer patients, and, you know, everybody kind of winds into this dilemma, and especially, it becomes, I think, especially difficult when you get a an aggressive type of cancer like the transitional cell, where...
Transitional cell carcinoma, is that what it is?
That is correct.
Yeah, and so, Dr. Mike, you said that is an aggressive form of cancer, so that means it grows, what, really fast?
It's difficult to cure. It's not impossible. I mean, that's the big thing. It's just a real tough nut to crack.
Mm.
And so when you get cancers like this, you do wind up sort of getting into that, you know, positive-negative balance and trying to figure out, well, what are the benefits, what are the negatives, and what are the costs? And I would agree that dogs in general do tend to tolerate chemotherapy much better than we humans do. You know, they certainly still have side effects. And in some cancers, it can be a very effective way to go. And so I wouldn't try to talk you out of going for the chemotherapy, but if, you know, the decision is to move forward, then absolutely there are things that might, in particular herbs, that you might be able to slow or potentially even arrest to some degree the cancer without a lot of the side effects. Certainly, you can help with the abdominal and the bladder discomfort that goes along with that tumor, and just help with general well-being. Cases that I've dealt with, you know, we've been able to, I think, extend life with a good quality for a number of months as well, too. So there's definitely that option. I would argue against using acupuncture in a case like that.
You would say against acupuncture.
Yes.
And why is that?
Well, unless at the very end of life where you're just looking for maybe a little bit of euphoria and that type of thing. And the reason being is that with acupuncture, one of the main things that we're trying to do is move qi and move blood, the energies of the body. And with a cancer, you've got this tangling of the energies, and you can feed into the cancer.
Oh, so acupuncture might make the cancer grow faster?
Correct.
Oh.
Wow.
Correct.
Well, it's a good thing we asked that, Kevin.
That's a very good thing to know.
Yeah.
Now, I have used acupuncture in cancer cases, either in end-of-life situations where we were losing the battle and we were just looking to try to help with some comfort, or in cases where we've had animals on herbs for a number of months, you know, 2 to 3 months, and we're making good progress. At that point, sometimes the acupuncture can actually be helpful. But it's a fine line to walk, and, you know, sort of have to follow along and just know what you're getting into and that type of thing. Aggressive herbal therapy is what I typically do, and a lot of times I'll work in conjunction with oncologists. And that's the other thing, too, is you could work alongside the chemotherapy to help get them through any side effects a little bit faster, to maybe give a little boost to the cancer-fighting abilities of chemotherapy as well, too. So, you know, there's all those different options to go with. So the big thing is that I would just, especially in that type of cancer, stay away from acupuncture, at least in the short term.
Okay, now the other thing, Kevin, I would like you to describe to Dr. Mike, because we need to keep in mind that Zuli is 14 years old.
Correct.
So, you know, with a medium-sized dog, I mean, that you're really kind of getting to the, wouldn't you call it the average lifespan, Dr. Mike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 14 to 16.
Yeah, so we're up there. Now, also, Zuli, it isn't just the bladder cancer that's an issue. She has other...
She's had mobility issues.
Yeah, so you tell Dr. Mike all about her condition and the other stuff going on.
Right. For the last couple of years, she's had mobility issues probably related to hips. Mm-hmm. Our local vet said that it was arthritis. And for that, she's been taking Tramadol, to deal with the pain, and she was also on some meloxicam, mm-hmm. and we switched over.
Now, I don't know what those drugs are, Dr. Mike. Can you tell, are those like just painkillers or something?
Yeah, tramadol you can think of similar to an opiate. It's purely for pain.
Okay.
And the meloxicam is also very good for pain as well as some inflammation.
Oh, okay. All right, continue.
And we did switch over just recently at the recommendation of the oncologist from the meloxicam to Rimadyl, which is another anti-inflammatory.
Yep, similar to ibuprofen is the way it works.
And then how we discovered that she had the bladder issue was she had what we believed was, and our local vet believed, was a kidney infection. And so she was on Clavamox for that and actually went through two courses of that before, you know, it seemed to get a lot better. So she did indeed have the infection, kidney infection, but it continued and didn't get 100% better. And that's when we went through the ultrasound that found the tumor.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So we are continuing her on the Clavamox just to deal with any antibiotics, biotic right. issues.
Yeah.
For about 2 years, she's been on she and her dog sister have been on the canine maximum joint formula as a supplement.
Great. Yeah, I mean, and that's all good. Again, you know, if she didn't have the cancer, acupuncture would be great for the mobility issues.
Yeah.
You could play around, I suppose, with some acupuncture just specifically just around the hip area, and you're probably, you know, going to be okay. I would still make sure that that animal was on, was on herbs. And again, if you're talking quality of life issues, at that point, you know, you're saying, well, what's worse? Is she having a bigger difficulty with the cancer or a bigger difficulty with her mobility? And if she's handling her bladder tumor all right, then maybe you say, all right, even if there's a chance that we might beat up the cancer a little bit, we're not handling her comfort level very well, so it makes more sense to focus on this for a while. The other thing from a Western medicine standpoint that you could talk to your vet about would be adding the injectable glucosamine, the Adequan, for her joint health. It's going to be more powerful than the oral joint health supplement. Might give you a little bit better relief and help her out.
I see.
Now, Kevin, am I remembering correctly, or did you tell me that Zuli also has some eyesight problems?
I would say her hearing has diminished over the last couple of years, and to take her outside or to even let her know that there's food, I need to clap my hands to get her attention.
Okay, it was a hearing that's also deteriorated. So, you know, Dr. Mike, she's kind of going downhill on a lot of levels.
Sure, she's an older dog, you know, and definitely those are all things to, again, what you need to do is you have a game plan on, you know, priorities on where her biggest difficulties. I mean, an older dog with hearing issues, the hearing, you know, working on that is probably not a priority. Working on keeping her comfortable both in her abdomen and in her hips is the priority, and there are definitely ways to approach that. You know, looking at it from a holistic standpoint or a Chinese medicine standpoint, all of those things with aging, these animals wind up having a lot of deficiencies, and in a non-cancer patient, we would use herbs to supplement these deficiencies and maybe improve the hearing and improve the energy and improve the mobility. But again, the cancer puts a monkey wrench into it, because if you're feeding the rest of the body and increasing the levels of what the rest of the body needs to have to function properly, the cancer is going to take up a lot of that. And you run the risk of, again, sort of, you know, if you will, feeding into the tumor. So the real tough go. And so, you know, if you focus on the cancer predominantly and then work back from there, you can do that. Or you can focus on the comfort in the hips with, again, the idea that, all right, we might not be doing the best thing for the cancer, but we're doing the best thing for the dog. I don't know hers, and you know her best.
Right.
And that's what you need to look at her at and say, okay, what's the thing that's going to help her in her, you know, later years most?
How would you feel about massage and would it stir things up much like the acupuncture, or would it be helpful?
It potentially could. My feeling with a lot of massage therapists, if it's not a cancer that's in the external tissues, skin, muscles, you know, bone, nerve, then I think a lot of times the massage therapist, and myself included, would say it's probably not a bad thing, especially if she has some discomfort, and, you know, in the muscles that she's using to compensate for her hips, that type of thing. Certainly wouldn't want to do any type of visceral, you know, manipulation or massage therapy that goes deep into the abs. I'd stay away from any of the abdominal muscles myself, that type of thing. But I think it'd probably be pretty safe in doing some general light massage work on it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Kevin. Now, does that kind of exhaust your questions, Kevin?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, it hasn't exhausted mine. So.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. Now, I want to take everybody back to a situation that I went through in this last couple years that Dr. Mike was phenomenally helpful with. And excuse me, you might want to grab your little Kleenexes here if I tear up a bit. But Dr. Mike, you remember it was I don't know if it was 3 years ago. I'm not quite sure how long it was ago, but it may be 3 years ago this June because it was around my birthday month. My most beloved Abyssinian, my ruddy Scooty. You know, we had gone to Dr. Bill for our regular exam, you know, and he palpated his abdomen and all of a sudden his face kind of went white and he just looked at me and said, "We're taking an x-ray." Well, he didn't like the sound of that. So anyway, we took an x-ray of Scooty's abdomen and Bill had picked up on something going on to his liver. Well, Kevin, we went to the same radiologist for ultrasound that you went to. And what we found was that Scooty had cysts, biliary cyst adenomas in his liver, and one very large one and a bunch of little ones. Now they're not malignant, and they have fluid in the middle, but they grow and all of that. So at the time, Scooty was probably 12. Years old or more, so he was getting up there. He was 12 to 13, and Scooty all his life had a problem traveling. He gets car sick and has really trouble traveling, and so he really hates to go in the car anywhere. And everything I tried doing with him on all levels and alternative didn't work. So we avoided going in the car whenever we could, but. There was the option of doing surgery with a board-certified surgeon, which I interviewed several, and they looked at the ultrasound and so forth, and there was a possibility of surgically removing the large cyst in the middle of his liver. However, with the views on the ultrasound and all of that, it couldn't be determined that they would be able to get the whole large one. There was the possibility of it being broken open during surgery, getting that fluid in the abdomen, so, you know, issues there. And of course, they explained to me, and Dr. Mike, you can correct me if this is not right, but that these little, when they have these biliary cyst adenomas in their liver, even though they're not malignant, it's like a garden with weeds. They crop up all over, and you can't take them all out. And so the surgery would, if it was successful, would only prolong his life. So at that point, Kevin, I did what you are planning to do, and I, of course, talked with Scooty myself, and then I elicited, you know, help from my two best friends that are great communicators, and that would be Kim Miller Medium and Robin Alexis. And between the three of us and communicating with Scooty, what Scooty told me was that he wasn't concerned about doing the surgery. He could do the surgery, but he was very concerned about his ability to recover from the surgery. And he said, "I don't want to do the surgery unless you can guarantee me that it will be successful, I could recover quickly, and we will have really good quality of life left. Well, you know, what the surgeons told me is that, you know, for heaven's sakes, he could die on the table, and it may not be in all of that. I couldn't guarantee him that. So we made the choice to not do the surgery. You know, there wasn't a chemotherapy option with this particular thing. So we opted not to do the surgery, and we decided that we were just going to do whatever we could to keep Scooty as comfortable as possible, and we would just love each other's socks off for the rest of the time we had together. Well, one of the first things I did was call Dr. Mike and tell him what was going on. And because Scooty had such great difficulty traveling, we didn't go down, you know, to Sumner to see Dr. Mike. He just prescribed some Chinese herbs over the phone and mailed them to me. And I think what they were, the status transforming herbal combination, Dr. Mike?
Yep, that's correct.
And then towards the end of his life, when he was starting to go down the hill, Dr. Mike prescribed another one. But at any rate, what I have to say is that the herbs from Dr. Mike, and we thought at the time this was all diagnosed that maybe we had 6 months together, if that. But, you know, we had almost 2 years, and it was the best 2 years, because I didn't take a second for granted with him, and he didn't either, and we truly loved each other's socks off until the last moment, and I'm so glad we made those decisions. So that being said, what I want to know from you, Dr. Mike, because, you know, Kevin and his wife want to do what's best for Zuli. We are going to do the communication and find out what Zuli wants, and she might put the kibosh on all of this, or she might say, yeah, I want to do the chemo, or whatever. We don't know that yet. But let's, assuming that we're moving forward with this, with my animal friends, Kevin, I want to deal with the best. So, you know, I've told you, you know, about my vet, but if when it comes to Chinese medicine, which for herbs, acupuncture, that kind of stuff, it's Dr. Mike. So I'm wondering, Dr. Mike, would you recommend, I mean, to working with Kevin over the phone and just sending herbs, or would it be better, could you do a better job for Zuli if they came down to see you at Sumner?
Well, I really, either myself or another herbalist, seeing the dog in person, you're going to be able to have, I think, a much better time in putting together a specific formula, you know, for her that's going to have the greatest effect. So I would definitely recommend, you know, again, either myself or even somebody closer where they could do more frequent follow-up exams to do some herbal medicine and go that route for sure. Where are you located, Kevin?
In Woodinville.
Oh, in Woodinville.
And Zuli loves to ride in the car.
That's great. So you've got a whole bunch of really talented people. You've got Dr. Siegler just right down there in Redmond, and you've got Dr. Sodi in Bellevue. And again, if you wanted to come down to Sumner, I'd be more than happy to take a look. That would be no problem. You know, so you've got a whole bunch of options. There's people in Seattle that are very good. So you know, definitely use those resources out there if you're going to go in this direction. Again, my personal recommendation is, as I'd love to help you out, but because I'm up in the area, you know, fairly infrequently, it would probably be best to hook up with somebody that could monitor things a little bit more frequently.
I see.
And go that direction.
Now, I would say, and I'm just going to chime in here, because I really know, I know Dr. Larry, he was, actually, Dr. Larry was the very first veterinarian. Well, he was the Vet Sunday with Animal World, you know, like 15, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike wasn't too long after that, because I think then we got Dr. Panzer on, and then Dr. Mike, I think you were the third one to start on Vet Sunday with us here on Animal World. But anyway, I just think the world of Dr. Mike, and even though he's only up in Sumner every other Monday, my vote would be to get down there, at least let Dr. Mike check out Zuli, get his hands on her once, you know, to do his magic and maybe prescribed herbs. And then maybe if things were necessary or more monitoring was necessary, then maybe, you know, get Dr. Larry Siegler. He's at the Animal Healing Center in Redmond.
Right.
Involved. The other option, I'm not real riled about. That would not be on my list of options.
Okay.
But Dr. Larry's very good. But, you know, my heart is with Dr. Mike.
And, I can hear that.
You know, and if Scooty was okay traveling, we'd have been down there in a heartbeat. Okay,
right.
And Zuli likes to travel, so that would just be my vote, and you, of course, can decide, you know, what works best for you, and we want to tune in to Zuli and find out what she wants. But, you know, Dr. Mike is so honest about, you know, see somebody closer and they can see you more often. But, Dr. Mike, I just think you are the best and you are well worth the trip. And so would you object if Kevin brought Zuli down to see you?
Of course not. I'm just trying to help Kevin make the best decision for his dog.
Yeah.
We're flexible enough to be able to make that trip.
Okay, and so then let's do some. What's the best way for Kevin to make an appointment to see you in Sumner? Is it to contact you directly or to contact Sumner Vet?
To contact Sumner Vet.
Okay, and do you have contact information for them, like phone number?
Yeah, their phone number is 253-863-2258.
2258. So, Kevin, that's Sumner Veterinary Hospital.
Yes.
253-863-2258. And, Dr. Mike, you go you're up every other Monday?
Correct.
And I would assume not on the 4th of July. So, are you up?
I'm there on the 18th.
On the 18th is your next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Kevin, does that cover your bases for right now?
Just one other question.
Okay.
As far as Zuli and her jollies, she really likes to take walks. Would we be complicating things by continuing to take her on walks?
Absolutely not. In fact,
she's
benefiting that mobility issue because you want to keep her joints mobile and you want to keep her muscle strength up and you want to keep her psychological health in good shape too. So absolutely keep those up.
Yeah, because I think that's quality of life. You want her to be able to do the wonderful things she loves to do.
Yep, absolutely right.
All right, Kevin, and you know how to get a hold of me off air, and we will continue this off air as we get in touch with communicators and find out what Zuli wants.
All right. Thank you very much.
And now that you're on the air here, you're going to have to keep us updated.
Absolutely.
All right, Kevin, thanks for calling Animal World.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. God bless. Bye-bye. Dr. Mike. You're wonderful. Thank you. And we're gonna put you on hold because we're gonna take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we'll come back and do a quick current events, and then we'll be into the last hour. So Mike in the studio, are you still awake?
Yes,
oh yeah,
I am.
Fastest 3 hours in radio.
We've got a couple of mics on the mic.
Yeah.
That's very confusing.
Oh dear. All right, we'll leave it at that. Animal World continues straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. That's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. One for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There's a bird formula and a horse formula and a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
We all want the best possible health for our animal companions. At Nature's Logic, we believe the highest quality and safest nutrition for your pet comes from whole foods, not chemistry labs. So we've created the first and only full line of kibble, canned, and raw pet foods containing no synthetic vitamins or minerals. Nature's Logic uses only whole foods and 100% natural ingredients to provide your dog or cat with complete and balanced nutrition. To learn more about Nature's Logic or to find a retailer, please visit natureslogic.com.
Is your dog unable to jump into the car or onto your bed? Has your cat stopped grooming because it hurts to twist? Joint discomfort can take the fun out of life. Connectin is the first joint supplement scientifically proven to show better mobility within 15 days. Yep, 15 days. Connectin contains joint building blocks, plus 9 natural herbs to support joint health. Connectin is gentle and effective. Make sure your pet is living a vibrant, active life with Connectin. Ask for Connectin at your natural pet store. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made breeze guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits in your car's windows. BreezeGuard keeps your dog in the car with the windows open. It keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to BreezeGuard.net for complete product details and information on ordering BreezeGuards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out BreezeGuards now at the Redmond Saturday Market.
Urine contamination is a common and stubborn problem. Conventional cleaning methods are not the answer. Anti-Icky Poo works quickly and naturally, and it's my all-time absolute favorite odor neutralizer. This unique bacteria enzyme solution converts the waste directly into carbon dioxide, a safe and odorless gas found in everyday clean air. Ask your vet for Anti-Icky Poo or call 1-800-745-1671. Anti-Icky Poo, it's a serious product with a funny name that really works, especially on cat urine. 1-800-745-1671.
Since 1935, Evinger's Dog and Cat Food Company has been the finest natural dog food company in the United States. For over 75 years, they have innovated products dedicated to wholesome nutrition free of harmful additives and preservatives. Premium quality cuts of USDA human-grade meat and poultry with market-fresh fruits and vegetables compose their revered recipes. No corn, wheat, or soy. No fillers or byproducts. No additives or preservatives. Nothing artificial. Just abundant, wholesome ingredients. Make it easy to say yes to Evinger's. Visit online for more information at evingersdogandcatfood.com.
Attention pet owners and pet lovers. America's Family Pet Expo is here July 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Puyallup Fair and Event Center. It's the world's largest pet and product expo. Enjoy hundreds of animals, special activities for kids, pet adoptions, shows, and competitions. Plus, get special prices on pet products all weekend long. Bring the whole family to Pet Expo July 8th through 10th. For discount tickets, visit PetExpoWA.org now. That's PetExpoWA.org.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
This is for Gary, of course. Is that Husky music?
It's the band.
It's the Husky band. Yay! Go Huskies! Wouldn't it be nice if we knew that Gary was listening faithfully to Animal World?
Maybe we'll pull an air check and send it to him.
Oh, that would be good.
Don't tell. We won't tell him what it is, and it'll be like a big surprise.
Oh, that would be fun. All right. Hey, you all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Of course, next Sunday, technically, Scotty and I won't be here in the studio. We'll be at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. And if I'm getting up that early, Mike understands. We're kindred spirits.
Absolutely.
So it probably means I'm not going to get much sleep the night before. But if I get up that early and go all the way down the Puyallup Fairgrounds, I want you guys to do it too. And after all, this is the pet event of the year. So it is America's Family Pet Expo. Even hearing their ads running here on the air. And we will be broadcasting from 9 to noon down there next Sunday. Now, the event actually goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the only, what you need to know is you don't bring your animal friends, okay? But they got plenty of kid entertainment and all that kind of stuff. There will be education, entertainment, food, fun, vendors. Kids under five and military are free.